Accession number 18203, Reel 1.
Mrs. Fowles, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
I was born in Austria, a small place called Knittelfeld in Styria.
How do you spell Knittelfeld?
K-N-I-T-T-E-L-F-E-L-D.
Which year was this?
1926.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Knittelfeld?
What shall I say? He was in the factory which made enamelware in Knittelfeld, and he died in 1933.
And did you go to school in Knittelfeld?
I did, yes.
Do you remember the German intervention in Austria?
Just slightly, because I was not quite 13, I think. Yes, 38. No, 12.
What do you remember about that?
I think the excitement was us youngsters, we went to the sort of railway station because we were told that Hitler and Goering were coming through on the train, and we wanted to have a look to see what he looked like in the flesh, and we didn't see anything, but we went all the same, you know, to...
What did the adults in your family and roundabout think about it all?
Well, we had a little bit of trouble because I had four brothers, and my middle brother was a royalist. And in 1938, just after the Anschluss, he was caught on a lorry with the Austrian flag. There were quite a lot of them, quite a few of them, all waving the Austrian flags and so on. So he had to report to the police station, I think, I don't know if it was once a day or twice a day, for quite a long time. But...
Was he upset about it?
I don't think particularly, no. But he just didn't. He was a real, what do you call a real royalist? Because quite a lot of people, although perhaps it's not so well known, they are still hankering for the Habsburgs, you know, so...
What did you feel about politics yourself at that time?
Nothing at all, I don't think. I think we were really too young. I was really too young to sort of... I wasn't involved in anything.
So you weren't a royalist yourself?
No, I don't think so, you know. But my mother wasn't very keen on the Anschluss, because I think perhaps the older people could see trouble ahead.
Do you remember, was there any German presence in your area after the takeover?
Yes, quite a few quite local people started appearing in the brown shirts and the swastika, you know, the whatever you call it on the arm. And we had the Air Force station, which was quite close, which was taken over by the German Air Force. And one of my brothers, before the Anschluss, they had to do 2 years military service, and his 2 years hadn't finished when the Anschluss happened, and he had to stay in. He was automatically taken into the German army then, into the German Air Force, and he was serving at Zeltweg, at the Air Force station.
Do you remember the war starting?
I do. I do remember the war starting, yes, because my brother was... Both my brothers were called up one was already in the Air Force and the other one was called. He had to go and fight in Poland. So.
Did the war affect you at first?
Not really, no, because the way our town was situated, we sort of were surrounded by farms and there was nothing there except the railway works. And right up to the end of the war, we never had any real trouble with aircraft, with bombing. We had the odd bombs when perhaps a squadron came across or the bombers came across and perhaps one of the bombers was damaged or lost an engine and had to turn round. And of course the first thing they did was drop their bombs. We had a few small things like that, but nothing big. I mean, we never ever went to the cellars, to the bunkers, when the air raid sirens went. We just used to watch. We used to watch your pathfinders throwing what we called the Christmas trees, you know. We could see them in the distance and waiting for the bombers to come and drop the bombs.
What exactly did a Christmas tree look like?
Well, I think there were flares when I think they put four corners and we used to watch them.
Did they look like Christmas trees?
Well, yeah, they must have done. There must have been some similarity because that's what we called them.
Had the German takeover affected your education in any way?
Only in so much that some of our school teachers changed. If some of our teachers wouldn't join the party, they lost their job. And we got quite a few new teachers through that. But otherwise, the history assignments must have changed just slightly because obviously history books were rewritten.
Were you conscious of that very much?
No, not at all.
How did people in your locality, the adults especially, feel about the war at first?
Well, at the very beginning, I think everybody was sort of, not everybody, that's an overstatement, quite a lot of people, of course, were quite pleased for Hitler to come because it gave them work. But of course, slowly, as soon as the war started and all the young men had to go, the feelings changed because I don't think anybody expected this sort of outcry for Lebensraum. See, one could I think a lot of people understood Czechoslovakia because of the Sudetenland. So people understood parts of that. But when it came to Poland, then it was a completely different matter. So especially the older generation then became really disillusioned.
Why do you think it was especially the older generation?
Because I think people of my age group didn't really think too much about what the outcome of the whole thing was, because I don't think we were told of the actual casualties or what happened in Poland, things like that. We didn't know. So whereas older people could thought back to the First World War, the younger generation, of course, they didn't. So one accepted quite a lot. And I think, I know it's difficult to understand now. You know, when you look back, it's difficult to think that you couldn't see it.
Did the war affect you in any way of shortages of commodities?
Not to a great degree, because there were so many farms around our area, and everybody knew somebody. It wasn't until late on in the war, when things became a little bit short, or quite a bit short, I suppose.
So was there never any commodity which you would have particularly liked, which you couldn't obtain?
I think the only thing we couldn't get was fruit, except apples and the locally grown fruit. I don't know if people, perhaps don't quite understand. In my home, most people have their own allotment, and they grow sufficient potatoes and cabbage and things to last them through the winter. So even if you were short of butter or anything like that, you've always had the vegetables, the basic vegetables. But of course you couldn't get fruits, which we used to get from Italy, and fish. That was another thing which sort of stopped. But perhaps other things perhaps were short. Sweets, I think, were short for the children, those sort of things. But I can't think of the basic things to begin with.
How old were you when you left the school?
I was 15, coming on for 16 when I left school.
In 42?
Yes. And then I was soon afterwards drafted in 43, I was drafted into the German labor service, the Arbeitsdienst, it was called. And I can't remember if I had the choice of where I had to go. It was something similar to the land army here, but you could either go to the work on a farm, or you could go and work in somebody's house and do the cleaning. But I cannot remember if I had a choice where I could go. But I went to work. I went to Yugoslavia to work on farms, and I was there for just over. Well, I didn't get home until February 1945.
Whereabouts in Yugoslavia was this?
It was a place called. I don't know the name in Slavonish. It's a place called Grosontok, they called it in German. It was not very far from Zagreb.
In Croatia?
No, just outside Croatia. We weren't in Croatia, because I don't think the German army ever went into Croatia. I think they never did.
What kind of farm work was this?
We lived in a castle as a group. And then each day we went out to a farm, and you had to do what you were told to do.
You lived in a castle?
Yeah, we did, in one of these old castles.
A big castle?
Yeah, it was big, yeah.
Who's we? Who were you with?
It was a whole group of the labour service, you know, all girls, and our leaders and the people who looked after us.
And was it with animals or crops or what?
Yeah, with some girls had to look after animals, and we did a lot of the vineyards. We had to do quite a lot of work in the vineyards. I was fortunate. My mother was a very good knitter, and she taught me. And I was knitting for the family I was with. I was doing most winter. I was knitting them pullovers from the. And they taught me how to do the fleece from the sheep to make the wool, and do a bit of spinning. And then I knitted the wool.
Who were this family?
The farm family.
Do you remember who they were?
No, I don't.
What language did you speak to them in?
German.
Were they German?
Yes. Well, it was part of Yugoslavia, which. Was German before was it the First World War? And most of the people spoke German. They were German, you know. I suppose they spoke Slovenish as well, but they did speak German.
Did you learn some other language?
No, not while I was there, no.
Were you happy doing this work?
Well, I wasn't unhappy. Each night we went back to our camp, or the castle. And of course we were all the girls together. There must have been about 30 or 40 of us. And we had the normal sort of evening. We had our meal and then, you know, and had our sing-song and so.
Could you have much fun?
Not a lot of fun, because we couldn't go out. We weren't allowed to go out at night, because there were, at the time, I think the Croats used to cause quite a bit of trouble to the German army at that time. They were just starting to harass them a bit, so we weren't allowed out at night. We went out each morning and back in the evening, and we stayed in. We had to make our own fun.
Did you feel yourself to be in danger?
Not really. I don't think we ever really thought about being in danger, although we were told that we could be with the Croats, but I don't think we thought much about it. We just did what we had to do and just carried on.
Was the work hard?
For me it wasn't. Some girls were very unlucky. They had very bad farms, and they were very unlucky, and they had a terrible time while they were out during the day, you know. But I personally didn't.
What did they tell you about their sufferings?
They were saying that they were made to do all the dirty work, really heavy and dirty work, and some of the families perhaps didn't speak German as well as others, and they were perhaps not abused, because not abused in the sense we use the word abused now. Harangued, perhaps, because they either couldn't understand or perhaps didn't want to understand, or one way or the other, I don't know. But they didn't have some of them didn't have a very good life, and they very often tried to change their farms if they could. But of course, if you were lucky and had a good farm, you wouldn't change.
How were you treated?
I was treated quite well. I didn't get much to eat during the day while I was on the farm. But of course I had my breakfast before we left, and then I got my evening meal again when we came back. But I didn't get a lot at lunchtime. Perhaps I got some bread and cheese, but not an awful lot. But otherwise I wasn't treated badly.
Did you get enough to eat?
Not really, no. I think if you, especially if you've been working.
Any other experiences you had in Yugoslavia?
Well, only a couple I wouldn't like to say.
Were you able to keep in communication with your mother?
Yes, I was.
Had she remarried?
No, she never remarried, no. She looked out, I had four brothers and myself. I was the youngest of five. And my youngest brother was 11 years older than me, so there was quite a gap. But she never remarried.
So when did you come back home?
I came back home in February 1945. I came back on leave. And then it was, I hadn't been home for a week when we had a bombing raid, the very first one.
Can you tell me about the raid?
Yes, that was terrible, because that was the first time I went to a bunker. That was the very first time I went to a bunker. And the first wave of bombers came across and they bombed the town because they missed the railway works. And after about half an hour or so, when it finished, when we came out and we saw that it had all finished. And my brother's wife's little sister was with us in the bunker. And her mother had gone to the cellar in their own house. And when the first of the raid had finished, she said that she would like to go home to her mother. And we thought the whole thing had finished and she went home. And then the second sort of wave of bombers came in, and the house she lived in, the cellar, it was a direct hit. And her mother and herself, they were all killed. So it wasn't a very happy day. I know people in London must have suffered terribly, and I can understand that, because on that one day, I wouldn't like to relive it.
Did you see the planes?
We saw the first lot coming, yes, because nobody had ever gone to the bunker, because normally they went either on to Vienna or to one of the big cities, and they came up from Italy, I assume, and they had to overfly our place to get to wherever they were going. And we just didn't take any notice until the bombs started to fall. And then, of course, everybody rushed then to get into these bunkers, which had been built for many years, you know, well, quite a few years, and nobody ever used. And people used to go from the town out to the mountains to watch the bombers, you know, the bombers flying in and having a look. But nobody sort of ever thought.
What were the bunkers like?
Well, they were drilled into the side of a hill, and they went down. It was actually a hill they went into, and they were just like, I suppose, like mine workings. They were with wooden mine, like a mine shaft, I should think.
Were the planes flying very low?
No, they were high, and they came over the mountain, and of course, by the time they had cleared the mountain and dropped the bombs, the railway works were sort of close to the mountain. They had missed the railway and hit the town.
Did they drop high explosive or incendiaries or both?
I should think both, because there was a lot of fire, and also there must have been, because all wherever you looked, they had hit the water mains, and there were like fountains of water everywhere, and everything was burning. A lot of things was just flat.
Was the whole town destroyed?
More or less, yes. Not completely, but quite a lot of it, you know, a good part of the town was destroyed in just the one day.
Was it a nice town?
Well, I thought so, yes. It's very nice now. It's all rebuilt and it's very modern. And but it was nice because it was my home.
What date was the raid, do you know?
It was, it must have been the end of February. Either the end of February or the very beginning of March. I can't remember. But it was just two or three months before the war finished. It was just a few months before the war finished.
Did people feel bitter about it?
Yes, I think they did, because, I think everybody knew everybody knew by then that the war was as close to an end, you know, as you could get. And I think the feeling was then that it was, if they had wanted to stop the railway, it was similar to crew. It wasn't as big as crew. It was railway works, and it was similar to crew. And everybody felt that if they had wanted to stop the workings of the railway, that should have been done early on, not a few months before the war finished. So the feeling was quite strong then.
What happened to you after the raid?
Well, I think we all just did our best and cleared up and carried on. And of course, very soon afterwards, the war finished. And we hadn't, there was nothing on the radio or anything. We first knew when we went out and we saw some American soldiers in the town square. That's the first we had heard that the war had finished.
How were they behaving?
Oh, there were very few of them. And then we were told that the Americans were supposed to come. But then they left, and they said the Russians were going to take over. They had gone as far as, I think, Leoben would be. They had got as far as Leoben, and it would be about 30 kilometres, something from or perhaps 30 miles from my hometown. And everybody thought that they were going to come further up, as we call it. And we had heard some terrible stories about it, and my mother said it was time for me to leave home.
Do you think the stories were true?
I think so, yes. I don't know from personal experience, but some of my friends who stayed behind, they told some terrible stories afterwards. So we had a beautiful park in town, and they cut all the trees down for firewood. And they just slaughtered the cattle right in the town, you know, for meat for the soldiers.
So what happened to you?
I went from home and got into Germany, into the American sector of Germany, right in Munich. It was in Munich. And of course I had to find work. And as I spoke English, I thought my best chance would be with the Americans.
Was it easy for you to get from Austria to Germany?
Yes, wasn't I had to. We walked across the mountain, and then I swam the river to get across, because on the bridge there were the Russian soldiers. So I swam across the river to get to Germany.
Which month is this?
It'll be the war finished, so it'll be either June or it'd be June, yes, because the war finished in, did it finish in May?
Yes.
Yes, it'd be June, yes, the beginning of June, so.
So you swam the river with your possessions?
No, I didn't have much with me at all. I just left, I just had a rucksack, and I left.